Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well. If you own a home, you know how much work it can take, whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality. It can be hard just to know where to start, but now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters. And what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble. With exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
G'day mates, it's Bee Buster here. And before the episode begins, I would just like to let you know that Be Scared, which is produced along with Studio 71, features scary stories from around the globe on a weekly basis that aim to fuel your nightmares with a smile. And if you enjoy the podcast, it would be great if you could hit that subscribe button and drop a review. Thanks for listening, guys. And without further ado, let's begin. So I've always loved scary stuff. Films, books, and games, but never believed in anything paranormal. I'll admit that I'd had some weird stuff happen, but I'd ignore it and shrug it off. I mean, there must be a rational explanation. But then, a few years ago, my friend wanted to do one of those paranormal ghost hunts that was taking place in our local area. I thought, you know what, why not? I've watched loads of TV ghost hunts and all that. It'll probably be fun. And it was for the most part. The building we went to had a really horrible history, but there was a big roaring fire and comfy seats, and the atmosphere was cozy rather than scary. They even fed us loads of tasty food as well. It felt like we had gathered around to tell scary stories. Honestly, I never felt frightened once. A couple of strange things happened and a spirit box clearly said my name, but that definitely wasn't evidence of the paranormal. I put it down to coincidence. In the middle of the night, the investigators got a Ouija board out though and asked for some volunteers. My friend and another person in the group wanted to do it, so I decided to join too. It started spelling out words almost immediately too, and I didn't pay much attention to what it said because I was so focused on watching the other two to catch them out moving the pointer. I wasn't moving it, so obviously it had to be one of them. Except, I was paying such close attention that I realized that there were times only my finger was touching the pointer and it still moved. I didn't understand how and asked to look at the board at the end because I was convinced that there must be magnets or something on there. As soon as it was done, out of nowhere I realized I was really, really tired, just totally exhausted. One of the people in charge of the group, who said that he was a psychic, seemed really concerned, and I had to reassure him I just wasn't used to being up that hour. I'd been up since before 6 a.m. and it was now 4 a.m.-ish, so I just wanted my bed and chose to leave early. I got home, gave my dog some attention, and I went to sleep. But it was the next morning that I heard some weird noises that seemed to be coming from the door when I was in the bathroom. I thought it was quite weird, but I just sort of ignored it. Probably a draft or vibration from somewhere. I went into my bedroom and started getting dressed for the day. Heard my dog being silly on the other side of the bed behind me. He was a GSD and very big, so he was making quite a bit of noise. Sounded like he was digging under my bed, in fact. I turned around to talk to him and see what he was doing, and when I did, he wasn't there. I checked under the bed and all around the room, but nothing. In fact, my dog was downstairs the entire time. This actually freaked me out because I definitely know what I heard. Over the next couple of weeks, too, I checked for mice because, I mean, what else could it have been? This is when smaller things started to happen, though. From stuff like being certain I saw something move on the other side of the room in the corner of my eye, to strange noises. Sometimes things would just fall. A book falling off the table or a stack of plates clattering on the drying rack. I ignored a lot of this. Like, oh, I just heard a plate hit against another plate in the kitchen. Must be a draft in there or something. Other stuff, though, I really couldn't explain. Like, once, I was home alone and I just cleaned around the house and had been chilling on the sofa watching some TV. When I decided to get a drink or whatever, I walked into the kitchen and saw some fruit roll through the length of the counter. The fruit bowl is really tall and, I mean, there's no way any fruit would just jump out like that. It was only about a third of the way full as well. Nobody else was in the kitchen and really, I just could not explain that one. And then some things that happened were, well, just downright frightening. You see, I'd been home alone and I'd hear someone walking around upstairs. It was a different sound to the usual creaks, I know that much. More than once, I woke up to my dog standing in the doorway of my bedroom growling. He was never much of a growler, and that really terrified me. I would always go and check, expecting an intruder, but there was never anyone there. The worst thing by far, though, that happened was the last. It was a weekend morning, really bright and sunny. I woke up super early that morning, let my dog outside, and we went back up to bed. I had a coffee and a book, and I was just planning on chilling out for a bit. After a bit, my boy jumped off the bed and looked out of the bedroom doorway, then just sort of laid down, so I went back to my coffee and book. When out of nowhere, there was the loudest crash that came from the loft. I jumped, my dog jumped up, and then it sounded like something was falling down the loft staircase. There was noise of running up and down the stairs, and honestly, it was like all hell broke loose. I could have sworn, based on the noise, that there were at least 20 people up there just throwing things as hard as they could off the floor and the walls, kicking things and running around like crazy. I could hear things smashing, and it went on for a while as well. I was absolutely mortified and terrified, and I could have sworn that there were people up there. I heard running on the stairs, but couldn't see anyone. And when it stopped, neither of us dared move. I didn't take my eyes off the stairs, and eventually I went up with my phone ready to call emergency services, but there was nobody there, and the weirdest thing was, there was nothing out of place. Honestly, I have no explanation for any of that. I shared this elsewhere, and someone reached out and told me to ignore it as best as I could and it would go away. And it did, and this was years ago. I'm in the same house though, and recently, I've had a few more weird experiences happen that has left me feeling unsure whether or not it's actually gone or not. I have read somewhere that weird experiences can restart any time, and that honestly really freaks me out. But has anyone else had a long break and things start up again? The stuff that happened before just doesn't even seem real to me, but I know what happened. I don't want it to come back, and if there's something that I can do, then Honestly, please do share with me because this is all just a bit too much.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well. If you own a home, you know how much work it can take, whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality. It can be hard just to know where to start, but now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's Angie.com.
This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust,
Rose,
and I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
Many years back, I dated a man-child relatively the same age as myself. We got along pretty well. He presented gentlemanly, hospitable, kind, and loving. In hindsight, things escalated quite quickly. We went from being friends to being exclusive within a month. Not enough time to truly know someone, I know that. This story is quite lengthy, and I'll do my best to shorten it without leaving out integral details. So please, do bear with me. We saw each other daily. We mostly hung out at his home. That was fine with me in the beginning, as I'm rather introverted anyway. A couple of months into our relationship, I started to question why we weren't leaving the house, why we weren't going out and experiencing new things and trying out new hobbies. His responses were always cloudy. He always tried to redirect the conversation, thinking that I was truly stupid and couldn't tell that this was an obvious avoidance tactic. That was the point where I started to become curious, though, and from there it all went downhill. Now, I'm not an intrusive person by any means, but considering that he was my partner, I had a right to inquire as to why we were isolating ourselves like this. After some mild questioning for a few weeks, I noticed that he began to create distance. This noticeable change was hard to ignore, in fact, and pretty much confirmed my suspicions. However, I'm not going to make a decision based on assumptions. I'm ashamed to admit this too, but one night, while he was sleeping, I actually went through his phone. I still feel pretty disgusted, even though I found like 100% proof that I was the side chick. I couldn't believe it. I still can't. I was with this person daily, and it obviously confirmed why we were so confined to his home. But it was perplexing because she had no idea about me. It was about 2 a.m. when I looked through his phone. There was nowhere that I could sleep beside him for the remainder of the morning, so I quietly got out of bed, collected my things, and I went home. The next day, I believe that he realized what had happened. However, he never contacted me to see why I left. Things remained silent for the entire day, and then I received a phone call later that evening. I confronted him. Again, I'm ashamed to say that I did take photos of the evidence, as I knew that he would try to gaslight me. The fury in his voice, though, was palpable. He did what a usual abuser would do, and blamed me for going through his phone while totally ignoring his infidelity. It was utterly pathetic, really. He had created this delusion that I was going to contact the other girlfriend and tell her all of the wrongdoings, all of his infidelity, lying and cheating, etc. I would have done this. However, while I was looking through the phone, I realized that this girl was very sheltered. She was completely oblivious to what was going on, and I was afraid that he would retaliate against myself and her, and I thought to myself that eventually she would find out anyway. I do regret not informing her. However, my decision was my decision, and I can't change that. But this is where my nightmare begins. He was so paranoid and confident that I was going to contact his girlfriend that he would constantly call me daily and make vague threats against me. I persistently advised him that I would not contact her, that it was none of my business, that she would eventually find out that he was a deceitful, inept brainworm sooner or later anyway. All I wanted was for him to leave me alone and to never speak with me again. That was really my only request. He obviously didn't take my words well, and he continued to harass me. Only a few days later, things completely erupted. His paranoia exceeded levels that I'd never seen before. He sent me a threatening message with the context being, "I have compromising photos of you and I'll release them," as he believed that I would ruin his relationship. I couldn't believe the delusion. No matter what I said, no matter how I phrased it, I even had my mother speak with him at one point, but it was useless. I sent him a message stating that if this was true and if he messaged me again, that I was going to call the cops. 5 minutes later, I received 11 messages in succession. A few were videos, photos, and personalized animations of myself. I had never seen these images or videos and animations before. These were taken without my consent. These were extremely intimate and compromising too. Unbeknownst to me, he had cameras set up all around his room. These weren't just threats. These were screenshots of these images, videos, and animations uploaded on various sharing sites. Luckily, he lacked intelligence. He sent me the evidence. There was nothing that I could do to stop the uploads, but I immediately went to the police. They did manage to take some down. However, there were no promises, as once a photo was uploaded, it could be immediately archived. This has forever altered my life, too. I don't see relationships the same. I cannot be intimate. I can't form strong bonds. I've become apathetic. I'm forensically observant. I have difficulty trusting everyone, even my family, and so much more. In conclusion, the police were rather efficient and treated me very well, which I'm thankful for. I was granted an immediate protection order, family violence order as well. He broke that quite quickly and called my phone, trying his best to apologize, begging me to drop the charges. He was so pathetic that he got his mother to ring me and tried to persuade me. I immediately called the police again and they took immediate action. This ended up going to court, and I won. It's really not the result that I wanted. However, he did get his name on that good old sex offenders registry list, which is far more egregious than people may think. Nevertheless, this is beyond life-changing. And to all who may have gone through this, I'm really sorry for you and I feel your pain. Thanks for listening to my story. I know it's a bit long, but I hope that it was good, and I hope you got something out of it. I guess the moral of this story is to be careful around people who you think you trust. I know that that's quite nihilistic and pessimistic, but these are some of the unfortunate aspects of life. It's quite paradoxical, I know. Humans are social creatures, but many humans, like this guy, are just absolute rats. So, to start this off, I was deployed to Kadena, AFB, late 2023. I was put into on-base lodging along with another body. After working my shift, I went straight to bed. I was asleep for a solid 4 hours until my roommate woke up to shower. I sleep kind of light, so it did wake me up. At this time, it was probably about 4 in the morning, after checking my phone. He apologized for waking me up, but I told him not to worry about it and to have a good day as he left. At this point, I shift my position and brought the covers over my shoulder. Then, shortly after, my blanket that had been over my shoulders was suddenly pulled back down. I was just about to fall asleep when that happened, so I was still fairly awake, but I ended up texting my buddy, who is an E6 tech sergeant, about what had happened, and he was freaked out for me too. He couldn't believe it, but he knew that I wasn't lying. I then called my wife, since she was awake in the States, to tell her my experience, and she didn't like it at all. She was sort of in disbelief, but also knew that I wouldn't lie about anything like this. I've heard stories about being here and it being haunted, but I never thought that I would ever experience anything like this. And it just had to be one of the freaky things that no one wants to experience, right? To those who have listened to the story, thanks for listening, and for those who have been stationed there, do you have any stories that you want to share? Because I would like to know your experience also, and know that I'm not alone. This was over 10 years ago, but I'll never forget it. So my friend, male and 18, and I, male and 17, would always hang out, either skateboarding, playing video games, and smoking weed. We were still young enough that we were hiding it from our parents, and would go out on walks or to nearby forests to smoke. One evening, it was about 6 p.m, and we decided that we would go to the nearby forest to have a smoke. This forest did have some walking paths, and a really cool man-made stair set that was embedded in the dirt of a really steep incline. There was even a long railing made accompanying the stairs. When we arrived at this stair set, it was about 7 p.m. and there was still lots of light left outside. We decided that we would sit at the top of the stairs for our smoking spot. We were chatting, smoking, having a good time just sort of hanging out. After we had smoked a bit, we remained sitting at the stair set and we both got pretty quiet. Not for any particular reason, but suddenly I felt or heard this indescribable boom. It caught me off guard. However, what really scared me was the fact that this feeling or noise seemed to come from every direction, including from underneath the ground. I remained silent for a moment afterwards, absorbing what I had just experienced. I looked over at my friend and asked him if he felt anything too, trying to confirm if I was just high and imagining things. But he confirmed that he experienced it too, and at that, I felt my stomach drop a bit. As we were discussing the sound, we didn't notice that within about 5 minutes that the whole forest had been shrouded in fog and it was beginning to get dark. This was pretty strange, we both thought. This was pretty strange, we both thought, considering what we had just experienced, but kind of played it off as my friend went to smoke again. Just before he went to light his bowl, though, there was this shrill or scream that shot through the forest. It sounded relatively distant, but close enough to make us freeze. The scream was long, high-pitched as if a woman had screamed, and echoed everywhere. Again, we heard the scream, and louder and more distinct this time. Finally, there was a third scream that tapered off, and then it just went dead silent. We were surrounded by fog, and it was getting darker and darker all of a sudden. And so at this point, we decided that that was enough. We got up, packed up, and we left, both being very uncomfortable with the series of events that had just taken place. We got out of the forest, which takes about 20 minutes or less, and when we did, there was no fog to be seen anywhere. In the following days, we played off the whole experience and didn't really talk about it too much, chalking it up to a weird experience at most. We ended up losing touch with each other later on, and we ended up getting back together several years later for his wedding. We ended up losing touch with each other later on and also ended up getting back together several years later for his wedding. And it was then that I brought up the experience to him and he remembered it just the same and we both kind of laughed about it, I guess. It still gave me chills talking about it, and having the confirmation that we both experienced the same thing was very unnerving. but as much as the screams were strange, I'll never forget that boom and the feeling and the noise of it. It felt, I don't know, otherworldly. My entire life, I've lived in haunted houses. When I was 6, we moved into this nice 6-bedroom house, built in the 1900s in the suburbs. When we first moved in, we didn't make a lot of effort to clean out the 2 crawl spaces. We basically just moved more stuff in with it, really. My mum remembers lots of old dolls being in there, though. I wonder if there's an attachment to something left behind, because I never found much information about anyone who lived there. Anyway, it was me, my aunt, my mum, my dad, my grandpa, and my cousins living there. Through the kitchen was my grandfather's room. Through his room was the stairs to the attic, which was enclosed in an L shape. The attic had been converted into 3 bedrooms by this stage. The room at the top of the stairs, that was my room with the tiny door to the first crawl space. To the left was my aunt's room, which had another crawl space. To the right was my parents' room. And sleeping in that middle room was honestly hell on earth. It was really scary, and most of my friends wouldn't stay over because of the things that happened in my room. I thought that I was just having nightmares or something, because I'd always see a shadow figure beside my bed. But that turned out to not be the case. So once I was playing school with my cat in my room, and it was getting hot, so the attic was very warm. I went into my aunt's closet with the cat because I was pretending that he was in detention. The door had no lock, but for some reason it just got jammed and I couldn't get it open no matter how hard I tried. Me and my cat, we would have died in there for sure after a while because of the heat, but my grandpa came to the rescue and he let me out with no struggle. The rest of the house was bad too. I've been in plenty of haunted houses, but this house gave you a sense of, I don't know, like dread. It felt very menacing and evil. A lot of bad things were happening in my family at that house too. I always felt like the house fed off the negativity as well. My cousins would party and have 20 people in their room every night. My parents and my aunt fought about it a lot, and once I had to hide in my parents' room while my half-brother's mum tried to distract me because the party guests were threatening each other with guns outside. The basement, it was creepy too. My dad finished one side of it and turned it into a sort of home bar. My grandfather had antique statues of clowns down there, and we had a projector down there as well, and the PS2. I would sit down there sometimes and play games. Once the lights turned off on me, I would always run upstairs with this feeling of being chased. Eventually, my grandfather got sick and passed away when I was about 8. My dad needed my grandpa's safe code to take out important documents. And for some reason, all of the adults thought that it would be a good idea to basically do a seance in the attic to try to get the safe code. Like ghosts can just spit out numbers like that. So my aunt, my mum and my dad and me took our voice recorder up there. My mum was a member of a local paranormal society at the time. So we ask all of our questions, hear nothing with our ears, and then we walk downstairs. We plug the recorder into our computer and listen through the recording. But we didn't hear anything besides ourselves until the part where we were going down the stairs. Then, through our terrible computer speaker, we all hear what sounded to my mum like a laugh and to me like woom woom in this deep demonic voice, almost like a pig or something. My mum then said, no more recording upstairs, okay? But the only not terrifying experience I had there was feeling someone petting me really gently while laying on my grandfather's recliner. A year or two later, though, we got a dog. I was still sleeping with my mum, but at this point, my dad was always at the bar and slept in the living room. Me and my mum were in her bed, and my dog was chewing on a bone at one stage. When the cast iron 400-pound bed frame started shaking violently. My dog's bone flew onto the ground after the shaking started. We called the dog up to the headboard and she came up and laid between us. The bed was shaking for at least a good minute. My mum said that the bone must have caused it, but even then it just made no sense. Later, she admitted that she just didn't want me to be scared, and we checked online the day after and saw that there were no earthquakes in the area, and nothing else shook anyways, so that didn't make any sense. Just the bed. One night, the door was opened between my parents' room and my room, and my mum said that she saw a shadow figure go from the stairs to the crawlspace door. Years later, my parents split, and me and my mum moved out, and my aunt stayed. Her boyfriend, who was basically my uncle, passed away sadly. My aunt adopted his kids and they live there still, but my blood cousins and my dad have moved out. I eventually went back to visit them after he passed, and he had renovated a lot of the attic, and it felt very different. A lot less heavy, I guess. The entire time that I lived there, I'd race up and down those stairs to my room because I always felt chased. And my aunt asked me if I ever told them anything to scare them, and I said no and asked what she meant. I'm a good cousin after all. And then she said that both of the kids, they race up and down the stairs like I used to. A few months later, and my dad was thinking about this Komodo dragon print that he bought from some local photographer or whatever, he remembered that he left it in the crawl space, and he texted my aunt asking if she could find it, and when my aunt got to the top of the stairs, it was neatly placed next to the crawlspace door. Mind you, no one had read her text or know where to find it. Heck, she didn't even know where it was exactly. I think about that house still, and I have nightmares about it, and the entity that I am absolutely certain lived in it. I don't think anything as scary as what we went through has happened since at that house. And while I'm not a Christian by any means, if demons are real, then I am certain that that's what this is. It was in that house, for sure. So, I had this experience last week. I won't go into too much detail, but my brother, his wife and son were going out for a meal at a well-known buffet in London. Before leaving, they said their goodbyes, etc. Nothing strange there. Until the doorbell rang and he came back an hour or so later, which I immediately felt odd about, as the drive to the buffet place is at least 30 minutes minimum, meaning that they would have to drive 30 minutes each way and only eat for 30 minutes. I didn't question it at first. My brother came in when I opened the door and said that he was full, and it looked like he was waiting for his wife and son to come in from the car. Well, so it seemed. Anyway, I turned around and went upstairs back to my room. About 20 minutes later, I got a WhatsApp message from my brother telling me that he's finishing up dessert and will be leaving in 20 minutes. I assumed that he was going out again elsewhere for dessert, as I guess the buffet dessert wasn't good enough, so told him to leave the key out when he leaves so that he can let himself back in. And that's where the confusion came in. He said, "What do you mean? I'm at the buffet and you already locked the door when I left, didn't you?" Honestly, I thought that he was joking at first and came downstairs to double check, and I noticed the front door was left open. I rushed to the door and locked it immediately and checked the Ring doorbell app to make sense of everything. But there were no doorbell press alerts and no motion alerts recorded either. Both me and my wife heard the doorbell though, and I definitely let someone or something in. Checking my brother's room after I got his permission, there was no one there or in any other rooms in the household. A week has gone by since then and no other strange occurrences so far, but honestly, let's hope it stays that way. This was in middle school. My teacher was absent one day, and this gym coach was substituting for him that day. I've seen him around the school before, and he has substituted for us a few times. I was sitting at my desk, talking to my friend behind me and pretending to do my work. and for some reason, he decided to walk around the room to check if we were doing the assignment. So I turned to my desk and started writing. He goes one by one to everyone's desk, but slows down once he reaches mine. He hovers over me, just staring down at my work. I got a bit nervous because I didn't want him calling me out or anything. But for some reason, I felt his breath on me heavily, which was really grossing me out. He was a frail, old-looking guy, so honestly, I didn't think too much of it. He walked really slow and seemed harmless, but was sort of very passive-aggressive when he spoke to us. I'd always get this weird sort of creepy vibe from him, but always thought that it was just me. Anyway, a few months go by, and the rumor of him being fired circled around the school. I was curious, so I'd ask around to know what the tea was. And apparently, the same teacher that would sub for my class was actually fired. He was caught trying to touch the girls during practice and throughout gym periods. He even touched a girl, which was soon reported by the student. And he even got caught hiding in the crack of the door trying to watch the girls change in the locker room. He would just sit there and try to watch them, apparently. He finally got caught while doing so, and he was soon fired and kicked out of the school. The news, it made it everywhere, even on the news. It honestly spread like wildfire. Thinking back on it now, it gives me chills to think that he would watch girls change like that. And thank goodness that he got caught. I guess you just never know people's intentions after all.
G'day mates, it's B-Buster here. Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of the Be Scared podcast. And please, don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss next week's episode too. Also, it would be much appreciated if you could share this new podcast with your friends and family and on social media too. Thanks again for listening, guys, and I'll see you mates in the next one.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well. If you own a home, you know how much work it can take, whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality. It can be hard just to know where to start, but now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.